Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance neath the cover of October skies. Get all the leaves on
what's
the trees
up, what's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show and the Sporting Edge combined. I got Xander with me today. We're going to do them. We're going to do a little bit of both today on Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And it's I'm thankful that you're here listening, and I'm thankful that I have a great son like my boy Xander. What's up, Xander?
Well, thank you so much, Dad. I appreciate it. I'm thankful for you, too. Very exciting day. You get a lot of football. Get to stuff my face with turkey and everything else that's on the table. I'll probably be full till about Saturday morning. But then I'm gonna get right to the leftovers. So there's gonna be no shortage of food in the house.
No shortage of stuff in your face, and of course, you know, Xander. You know, we talk a lot about a lot of different things, and of course. We just had the election, which is, about 16 days ago. And, of course, Trump won, which I projected. But, again, what are the reaction are you seeing from the kids at school and, some of the people that you know? What's the reaction been like?
Well, for those of you who don't know, I go to Illinois Wesleyan University. It's a liberal arts college, so you can imagine what the reaction was like there. I mean, I would say most of the people were pretty disappointed and upset, and I did see that on campus. I would say more of the people that I hang out with were kind of a crowd that voted for Donald Trump, but I would say overall, in a liberal arts college, you get people more of the mindset of the left, kind of voting Democratic. So it was actually pretty crazy. I was doing some homework the night of the election with a couple friends, and I had the election, the results on my computer screen, and throughout the night I wasn't really looking that closely. I mean, because I had a test the next day, so although the election is very important, I had some other things I had to take care of. One of my friends was glued to the screen, not doing any homework, and around 7 o'clock was when they kind of decided it was a pretty heated race, and which we started the day. I think the percentage was, in the mid-80s for Hillary to win the presidential nomination. So, I mean, after 7 o'clock, that's kind of when you see that kind of graph, in the fourth quarter of a football game, a team's up by 20 points, and they got a 99% chance to win, and then a couple turnovers, a couple defensive touchdowns, and the graph completely flipped. By 10 o'clock that night, it was pretty much called and over that Trump was going to win. So it was an absolutely crazy day. And then the next day on campus, like I said, was pretty eye-opening. I mean, a lot of upset people. I can't say that I was one of them, but I basically got to see firsthand a lot of people who were very heavily invested in Hillary Clinton winning. And it was interesting. I mean, that's what you get with an election. You get two different sides, and this one in particular, I mean, probably two of the most two polarizing candidates that are in the election, and they happen to run in the same one, which is pretty interesting. So it was an interesting year and a half run. I don't think people gave a lot of Donald Trump credit that he would even run for president seriously, and he ended up winning the Republican nomination, and then ended up winning the presidency, which was, regardless of what you think of the guy, it was pretty remarkable what he was able to do in the year.
Yeah, no, I think it was really unbelievable. But now we've got a lot of these people protesting and all this other stuff. Now, wouldn't it make sense from somebody of your generation that everybody should just now work together? If you don't like the guy, you can vote him out in 4 years instead of sitting there whining and wasting all this time and energy trying to make things worse instead of just trying to make things better. What are your thoughts there?
Well, I mean, that would make sense to me. And I know I'd always thought that, no matter what happened, that, I'd wake up the next day, I'd go to work, or I'd go to school, and I'd do the same thing that I always do with the thought that, no matter who was at the helm, that, there'd be a sense of people coming together regardless of what they thought. And obviously, I don't think it was that hard to predict that it wouldn't happen that way, and I'm not surprised that it's happening. I wish that you know, people would kind of take a different look at it, you know, as a point to move forward instead of, you know, trying to basically take a step back. I think there's a lot of people out there who hope Donald Trump fails, which I just think it's the wrong attitude. No matter what you think of the guy, I think a lot of people forget that we're all Americans and we all live in the same country, and that kind of goes by the wayside sometimes, you know, for the fact that people want their views, their discreet views, so stressed upon in the office that, you know, they really don't care. I mean, you know, regardless of what you call yourself, a Democrat or Republican, I think if you live in this country, you're an American first. And I think a lot of people have lost sight of that. And, you know, from my point of view, I was honestly happy that Donald Trump won. I think that this country needs a little bit of change, or, you know, a lot of change. And I think he's a guy who is willing to bring some change. And regardless, I mean, if his presidency can turn out to be a complete failure, I mean, we can, you know, we can start over in 4 years. I didn't think Hillary Clinton was going in the right direction of change that we needed. I think it was going to be more of the same. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. But I would like to see the country more united. But I think there's just a lot of people out there who want to see failure and want, you know, basically everything to go in the shitter just to say that they were right. I think it's the wrong attitude, but, you know, that's the other thing about living in this country. You can basically think and say whatever you want without any repercussions. And I mean, that again is also one of the greatest parts of this country is, you know, people's individual freedoms. You don't have that in a lot of countries around the world, and the ability to speak and say what you want. I wish that people would come together a little more now, but I understand a lot of people are scared of what's going to happen, but I think Donald Trump has a lot bigger mouth than he has a bite. That's just my opinion, and we'll see what happens, but I think the man is genuinely interested in making change. I don't think you run for president at 70 years old being, you know, a multi-billion-dollar businessman without any vested interest in actually making things better. I mean, there's a lot of things that Donald Trump could do with his life besides sitting in the Oval Office, having the most stressful job in the world as a 70-year-old man. And I know he's said a lot of repulsive things. He's done, you know, apparently done a lot of repulsive things, and I'm not going to deny that. But, you know, no candidate, no one person is perfect. There's always going to be flaws that you find in people. I just happen to think that he's going to do some things that'll move the country forward in a better direction than we are in right now.
And furthermore, I think that, you know, he should be given the chance. And I think he's done a very nice job at starting to build out his cabinet. And he's made peace with Mitt Romney, who basically called him a piece of crap and called him out, you know, when he was running. He was able to overcome that. And I think he's doing, I think, a lot of fence mending with a lot of people. And he's showing that he's a much bigger man than many others out there. And I think that's pretty remarkable as well. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I thought he, you know, he ran on a platform. He basically said whatever he wanted. He did whatever he wanted, and a lot of people liked that about him. And that was one of the things that I liked about him. I mean, the guy is never afraid to speak his mind, even on the biggest stage. I mean, you know, some people, you know, have trouble speaking their mind to one other person in a single room, and that's just not Donald Trump at all. And that's something, you know, whether I liked him or not, is something I always respected about him. And even now it's kind of funny. I mean, you know, just ripping the New York Times, just anybody, and he's not afraid to say it. And that's what I do like about him. But I always thought that he said a lot of things that that he wouldn't end up coming through with. And I think now you're seeing with, you know, people he's putting in his cabinet that he is willing to mend fences because he's, you know, he is a businessman. He knows.
You know, he knows how to operate, and he is going to come through. And this is the Bubba Show / The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba today. We're going to step out here for a break, and then we're going to come back at the end of the last 2 seconds of the show with Xander and do some sports. This is The Sporting Edge Bubba Show, all in one combination. Make sure LibertyTalk.fm, the only station you need. You can download both. We'll be back after the break with the Bubba Show Sporting Edge combo. We'll be right back. Welcome back to the Bubba Show Sporting Edge with Xander Bubba. And Xander's going to take a break, and we're going to go talk with Mark Oppelt from Rural Radio. And talk about what's going on in the grain markets and the general economy. So let's go with Rural Radio and Mark Oppelt, and then we'll come back after that.
Today, Todd, I'm sure at the Horwitz house already for Thanksgiving, huh?
We're butchering it up right now, Mark. Good morning to you. How are you?
All right. I want to start with this Dow. You folks that are taking advantage of the free preview here are not familiar with Todd Horwitz, but you don't pay attention. You know, you do, but not as much as just to technical signals here. But when you see the Dow over 19,000, first time ever, and then, of course, setting an all-time high, how does that change any of your thinking here as it relates to the commodity markets?
Well, you know, in the Dow itself, it makes you want to sell it. But I mean, I think the commodity markets are performing pretty well based on, you know, everything. And I think that there's going to be a fairly substantial sell-off in the Dow markets and in the equity markets. And I think that a lot of that money is going to flow into the commodity space, you know, after the first of the year. I think that's one of the reasons I'm such a big fan and bullish this space, is because I believe that there's going to be a lot of money flowing in this way, because we've really been, as farmers and producers can attest to, we've been beaten down pretty good and have not had, you know, any major rallies here that have been sustainable. But I think we're going to see a sustainable rally after we get a little bit of selling pressure, because I think we're going to see a little bit of pressure here, you know, over the next few days and maybe the next couple of weeks. But I do think that we're going to find the levels that are going to help us explode back to the upside and then sustain into next year a nice rally, because I do think that there's a lot of things looking good for this space, especially when some of the money starts to come out of the equity markets.
Mm-hmm. Now, there'd be contrary opinion that would say, well, what they're seeing is the new administration coming in, talking about economic growth, lowering taxes, putting millions, billions of dollars in the infrastructure. There's pent up economic growth, and that the economy can grow in the Dow as well. How do you respond to those kind of comments?
Well, I say this, and I've written about this all week. Okay, if everything is great, and listen, I'm a fan of Donald Trump. As you know, I predicted him because I couldn't win, so I said, okay, you can win then. But at the end of the day, okay, no matter what he does, okay, we're going to see a market that's going to fall, because what happens to all the old problems that we have developed over the last, you know, 8, 10, 12 years? Look at the debt model. We are in so much debt. What causes markets to break down is eventually you cannot service the debt. Eventually the Ponzi scheme has got to stop, and eventually they're going to stop printing money because there isn't any more money to print. So even with all of his great plans, and I'm a big fan, but the markets right now are drooling looking into the future, because everybody has forgotten about what's going on right now and what we're going to do with this debt model. And it's going to have to be fixed, and we're going to have to take some pain from an equity side of the markets, which is why we're going to see money flowing out, because people still, one thing for sure, investors will always chase yield, and we're going to look for it somewhere. And I think the space will be in the commodities, and more certainly into the commodities that we talk about every day here on the program. Because again, there's not a lot of good news other than Trump is making a lot of plans, but he's got to get the plans through. A lot of things have to happen. And then we have to go back and deal with the $19 trillion debt that we're stuck with right now.
Okay, very good. So a producer, farmer, rancher in here making investments of some kind, if they have money to invest, what would be your direction generally for people looking longer term here at their portfolios?
Well, if you're looking at an equity portfolio, I believe that you should always be 100% invested. And I think you look for good stocks that are fundamentally strong, that are at a technical buy level. But I also believe, and one of the things that I do is I actually hedge portfolios, because we can lock up cash, so I can be in the market anytime. I never sell stock as an investor. As an investor, I hedge them all the time, and I hold them. Very similar to what we do with our crops and our livestock, is we try to hedge them so we can lock in basis and not have to worry about the bad things that can happen in any market. Because again, no matter what market we're in, we're going to see rallies, we're going to be sell-offs, and then there's going to be a period of ugliness. And when that period of ugliness comes in, I want to make sure that I'm protected and I don't have to worry about it, which means I can keep my money working for me at all times. So I think you look for good, solid companies. I mean, right now you'd be looking probably you know, in some of the beaten down sectors that we've seen, because even though the markets have been making new highs every day, there's been more new lows being made in stocks than new highs.
Well, that's an interesting comment. We could spend the rest of the half hour talking about that. And people like what they hear, and I know you like to help our farmers and ranchers. And before I forget to ask, let's do that before we go to the break here. How would they get in touch with Todd Horwich to learn more and maybe put a plan together?
Well, I mean, Bubba Trading, BubbaTrading.com, you can get to me. And just if anybody's interested, Friday, Good Friday, I'm actually going to do just a general webinar of everything and answer a lot of questions of how the markets are going to react and what to expect. So you have free access to that if you want to come to it. It's going to be 60 to 90 minutes of questions and answers, and I'm going to just take it all and kind of teach people what to do and what to look forward to in 2017.
It's BubbaTrading.com. Todd Horwich, not done yet. We'll take a break, come back, and we'll talk about the grain and livestock trade in detail, setting up for this Wednesday after this. Commodity Wrap continues. To Commodity Wrap, November 23rd upon us here. It's Wednesday. Todd Horwich, our guest from Bubba Trading. Again, BubbaTrading.com. And if you go to that website, you can sign up for a free webinar this Friday. Markets are open. He is open and wants to talk to you or help you out. So check that out if you have some time on Friday after the Thanksgiving. And then check in with the free webinar. Todd, let's talk about a little Commodity Wrap here in the grain and livestock trade here. A little bit of a pullback overnight, corn and beans. I'm looking here of late 2-3 lower in corn, 4-5, mostly 5 lower in the soybean trade, and it looks like down another 2-3 in the wheat trade. Let's talk about beans. That's been the kind of the, well, has been the highlight here Monday and Tuesday.
I'll tell you what, Mark, right now, and I'm looking at them live, soybeans are trading at 10.21, and this is a very key spot. We've been in this range for about 19 weeks up to, and 10.20 has been the top end of the range, and we broke out of it yesterday. If we can hold above it, that would look to mean to me we're probably going to start to go higher. I really don't think they're going to hold. I think it was a false breakout yesterday. I think you're going to see some pressure here, and I think we're going to stay below this 10.20 level and possibly head back to the lower end of the range. Although I do like them, I'm looking for a spot to buy, but I would be looking to buy lower here. Wheat is under a tremendous amount of pressure right now, and two down 7 cents right at the moment here. Corn, again, 345. We come back to that number again. It's amazing how much we've crossed bass at 345 in corn. But again, I'm a big fan of all of it. I think that what we want to find is we want to be able to buy at better prices, because I think they're going to come, and I think we're going to see them as we get one, I think we're going to get one more push up in the dollar, because we, in the initial rally, I think was already priced in, and the farmers were smart enough to know that that was going to be the deal, and that's how they played it. But now I think we get one more push up. You've got the FOMC minutes this afternoon, and I think after that, I think then we start to see the dollar come significantly off, and then I think you'll see grain prices start to perk up, and we'll find some good levels to get in from there.
Now, these comments here, more from a technical standpoint than anything fundamental here that would be pushing this market down after maybe, you say, this little blow-off top we saw yesterday in beans.
Of course. I don't think there's anything horribly fundamentally wrong in the markets here. I think what's really happened is, you know, we finally caught up with everything, and we've been absorbing pretty much bad news after bad news. But yet here we are still at reasonable prices and significantly off the original lows that we made. So I believe we've defeated and fended off any bad news, and now we're going to start to build a base and then start to see higher prices coming. And I think that everything mm-hmm. favors us going forward.
Real quick here, I'll let you go. The FOMC, Federal Reserve minutes, are they going to be pretty direct about an interest rate hike here next month?
I think so, but even if they're not, I will guarantee an interest rate hike in December. There's no way. The bond market did their job when they're squeezing the Fed and forcing them to raise rates, as you can see by the much higher yields right now.
All right. Todd Horwich, thanks for all the time, not only today, but all year long. We are certainly thankful to you and hope you and the Horwich family have a great Thanksgiving holiday tomorrow.
And happy Thanksgiving to all my friends out there, you guys, the RFD and farmers and producers, XM 147. I love you all. Thank you. And I'll see you this afternoon, actually. But happy
That's
Thanksgiving.
Exactly everybody. Right. Yeah. Todd will be with us on Market Day Report that follows Commodity Wrap here. So stay tuned for that. We are not done yet. We're heading.
And that, of course, is my call on grains with Mark Oppold and livestock and the general economy. We're going to come back with the Sporting Edge version with Xander right after the break. This is the Bubba Show, Sporting Edge with Todd Bubba Horowitz. And make sure you go to LibertyTalk.fm, the only station that you need, and download the podcast. We'll be back after the break with the Sporting Edge portion with Xander. We're coming right back.
Let me see what spring is like on...
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here. The long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialady, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and put you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Hear that whistle, it's 10 o'clock.
Welcome back to the Sporting Edge Bubba Show with Xander. And Xander, it is Thanksgiving Day, one of the great football days. They start a little earlier. And of course, we've got some games to talk about today and some other football news. And what are you thinking here, brother?
Well, I mean, we got a great slate. Thanksgiving Day, I mean, there's not much more you can ask for than three games with pretty heavy playoff implications. I mean, we start off at 11:30, Vikings and Lions, both 6-4 sitting atop the NFC North, and, you know, this division is an absolute shit show. I mean, I can't say that I'm confident in any one of these teams pulling through, and, you know, I don't even want to talk about the playoffs yet because I don't think any of these teams right now, as I see it, are going to make any noise in the playoffs, but, you know, you never know. If you make it to the big dance, you know, you can always make it to the top, but, I mean, this is an awesome game. I mean, you got two teams that are tied for first. I mean, the Packers had a chance to move within a game last week, but, you know, that defense, you know, has more holes than Swiss cheese, and I think you could have run for 200 yards on them the other night. It was a pretty brutal game to watch, but I give credit to Rob Kelly and Kirk Cousins. I mean, they put up numbers. They did good. They won the game, and we get to see them in the second game, Redskins traveling to Dallas to play the Cowboys. This is another big game. I mean, I think this tie might end up really hurting the Redskins at the end of the year. I mean, if they're able to pull off this upset at Dallas as a 7-point dog, they're going to be 7-3-1. Cowboys are going to be 9-2. That tie looms large, though. You know, they'd much rather be 8-2. But I think the Redskins have a realistic shot to win this game. I think a lot of people knocked Kirk Cousins throughout the course of his career, myself included. But if you look at his overall numbers, I mean, the guy passing yardage-wise has been, you know, one of the best in the game. Led the Redskins to the playoffs last year. I mean, this guy, I think he flies a little bit under the radar. He's not very flashy, but he's done some great things the time he's been in the league. I mean, even from coming as a third or fourth round pick the next year playing for the Redskins after they drafted RG3, I think this game is going to be pretty tight. It's going to be tough. I mean, Dallas, I think right now I have to say they're the best team in the NFL. I was in between them and the Patriots last week. And the Patriots came out and did, you know, what they had to do. They beat the 30-17. It wasn't an overwhelmingly great game for them, but, you know, they basically beat the crap out of the 49ers, which was expected. But, I mean, the Cowboys have really not faltered this entire season. I mean, Dak Prescott, you know, in the face of adversity in the fourth quarter, has led his team, I think, to three or four game-winning drives. You know, and after that first loss, you'd think, you know, a rookie coming out loses to a huge division opponent at the first game of the year. You don't really know what's going to happen. But, you know, nine games later, they're sitting here at 9-1. And Tony Romo is kind of an afterthought now. But, I mean, Dak Prescott, Ezekiel Elliott, it has been a lethal combo. And I think a big part of this game is going to be the Redskins' defense. I mean, they've got to find a way to slow down this combo. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott, I think is the most rushing yards in the league. If not, you know, he's in the top two, I know that. So he's been great so far. It's going to be the Redskins' defense has got to do a lot of things in this game because I think they're going to put up some points. But, you know, Dak Prescott has also not been very flashy, but meanwhile he's got 17 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. He's doing exactly what he needs to do behind this offensive line. And the defense, is also playing pretty well. So I think 7 points is a very fair number for this game, but if I had to pick a side, I think the Redskins are going to show up and come to play on Thursday. And that would be my solid pick of the Thanksgiving Day. What are your thoughts on the game?
Well, I mean, if you want to look at that game first, I like the Redskins here, and I think they're going to beat him. I think they're going to beat him straight up. I think that I love Dallas. I do agree with you. I think they are the best team in football right now. But, you know, again, when you just look at a basic probability model, and then you look at a division game, and you look at two teams that are hot, and, you know, I just think that the Redskins are going to get out on top of them, and I think they're going to beat them. But I think it'll be a good game. But, again, I'm still not a big fan of Kirk Cousins, but he has been playing better. And this Kelly, the new running back, has been running the ball well. And
Fat Rob, they call him. That's what he introduced himself as. His first start on Monday night last week.
Fat Rob, and if what's the running back? What's cornerback Norman? If Norman gets his head out of his ass and starts to play and quit talking so much, I think that they've got a real shot because they have been playing very good ball. And even that guy, I think his name is Pierre Garçon, woke up and caught a few balls. So I think they've got a real shot, and I think they do win in this game here. I think the Vikings are going to beat the crap out of Detroit. I think Minnesota found something and played a little bit better. And I do not believe that the Lions, you can see, I think, how valuable Calvin was, you know, Calvin Johnson was with them, because the receivers they have now, they're nice, but they need the guy that's the superstar that draws the attention, because Golden Tate had a great year last year, struggling this year, can't get open. You know, there's a lot of things that happen, and you know, I think that it's going to be a knockdown drag out, and I think that the Vikings come away with a pretty easy victory when it's all said and done. And then just looking at the night game, you know, I liked, my best bet of the week was Pittsburgh before I heard that Luck was out with a concussion. So obviously that comes off the table because the game went from 2 to 9. So obviously I have no action or interest in this game. It's a good break for Pittsburgh and a bad break for Indianapolis. What are your thoughts of that game?
Yeah, you know, this is disappointing. I mean, night game, I know both these teams to me are not very good, but, you know, like I said before, they're both in playoff races. Colts are one game back of the Texans. Steelers are, I think, one game back of the Ravens. And, you know, this is a big blow to the Colts. I mean, Scott Tolzien, you know, the guy really hasn't played at all in the NFL. And like you said, I liked Pittsburgh a lot before this. And the fact that, you know, this offense is going to be led by Scott Tolzien, I think this could be an ugly game. I mean, 9 points is a lot of points, especially on the road. You know, it's tough to gauge how well he's going to play. I mean, Frank Gore, bless his soul, has been magnificent this season, but I don't know if he can carry an offense by himself, especially when the Steelers are going to be keying in on him. I mean, this could be a game that features a lot of screen passes with T.Y. Hilton and Dante Moncrief. I mean, I feel like that could be almost the only way that the Colts could sniff victory in this game. But, I mean, the Steelers at 5-5 have been a very big disappointment this year. But, you know, they're still fighting for playoff life. I mean, the AFC North has been almost as brutal as the NFC North. I mean, you got the Ravens, who are one of the most unexciting teams in football, yet they're leading the division at 6-4. And you got the Bengals, who have been, I think, probably next to the Cardinals, probably the biggest disappointment in football this year. A.J. Green went down last week. I think we're still trying to figure out how much time he's going to miss. I mean, the early report was that he was done for the year. Then I heard something that he might miss a week. So I really don't know about that yet. But, I mean, the Steelers, I think this could be the start of them getting on a run. You know, Big Ben really needs to find a rhythm. He hasn't really been that healthy all year. And now that they finally have Le'Veon Bell back, I mean, Bell, Roethlisberger, and Brown, I think, are probably the most lethal combo in the league. And I think this could be an ugly game.
You think it's more lethal than Prescott, Elliott, and Dez Bryant? I mean, he had a pretty big game last week.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm looking at it overall. I mean, obviously, I have much more time frame to judge the Pittsburgh trio. I mean, they've been playing together for a long time, but I'd have to say still, I think they're more lethal. I mean, I'm not going to say that the Cowboys trio isn't better, They are 9-1. They're playing some great football, but right now I have to side with the Steelers, and I think it's just a matter of time before this team breaks out. I think it could be today.
Yeah, and there's a lot of injuries, you know, out there, and of course Jay Cutler was a set out for the season. Now there's some question mark on that, but who cares? And I'm sure they're going to just keep him out anyways. I mean, I know they're calling him day to day, but I think they want to, you know, let Matt Barkley play. And let's see if he's got anything. He was from USC, and he's floundered around the league, you know, for the last couple of years, was with Philadelphia. So maybe he can play. I mean, because Cutler's going to be gone regardless. What do you think?
Yeah, Cutler's going to be gone. I know they signed David Fales, too, off, I think, the Eagles practice squad. He was drafted by the Bears a couple of years ago. So I think they both might get a little time. But, yeah, this is a lost season for the Bears. I mean, they've been, you know, it's hard to think of your team as being like a 3 or 4 win team going in. I think that's basically what I expected of the Bears, but they've had a couple opportunities to, I think, be about 500. They're sitting here at 2-8. Last week's game was brutal. Ended on a Jay Cutler interception. I mean, it was very, very stereotypical of the Bears, but I mean, I think the Bears are done with Jay Cutler, and I think they got to move on. You know, they've got a couple pieces on that team, a couple pieces on that defense, and I think could bode well in the future for him. I mean, Jordan Howard almost reminds me of a young Matt Forte. I mean, the way he's kind of taken that Bears backfield by storm as a, you know, a mid-round pick. I mean, he's been pretty damn good so far. But, I mean, the Bears have a lot of work to do. And, you know, I don't know if it's going to be the year after next or a few years down the road. But, I mean, I thought that was a very winnable game against the Giants this past week, that they were actually winning at halftime and, you know, absolutely dropped the ball in the second half. But, yeah, you know, Cutler, Hoyer, I mean, they're going to move on from them. And hopefully we start our search for the next franchise quarterback, because we're going to need one.
We're definitely going to need one, but we got an awful team. And, you know, we've got the whole division, as you said, is awful. But I think Green Bay has really fallen off the face of the earth. And I don't see the prospects of them getting any better. But this is the Bubba Show Sporting Edge, or the Sporting Edge Bubba Show, and we're going to step out here for a break. Make sure to hear Xander and me. You can go to libertytalk.fm, the only station you'll need, and that would be to download the Bubba Show and the Sporting Edge, because they are actually usually separate. We're going to step out here for a break. We'll be right back. The Bubba Show Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We'll be right back. Back to the Bubba Show Sporting Edge, Xander and Bubba. And Xander, you know, it's the college football season is winding down quickly. Of course, we still got those 400 bowls are going to come up with after the season. But it's good. Listen, the bowl season is great. The pools, the playing, the gambling. But of course, tonight there is one game. And you know what happened to Texas A&M, Xander? They were up there. They got put ahead of Washington, and now they're now a 7-point dog at home to LSU. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, this has been a major fall for Texas A&M. I remember the first week they got in the college football playoff, I was one of the people who was very against it. I thought that Washington, undefeated Washington team, should have definitely been slotted ahead of them. And what do they do? Texas A&M goes, and I think they lose 3 weeks in a row, something like that. They're now an 8-3 football team. It's definitely disappointing. I mean, Kevin Sumlin, I think, is a great coach. I mean, this team definitely had the opportunity. They put themselves in a position where they'd have went out. They could have definitely been in the college football playoff, but, I mean, these past few weeks have just been brutal. They dropped some games they definitely shouldn't have dropped. And now, you know, 7-point underdogs at home to a 6-4 LSU team, that's tough for me. I mean, as bad as Texas A&M has been the past few weeks, I mean, 7 points at home, I think this is an enormous game. Doesn't really have playoff implications, but it's yet, you know, still a very big game. I like the Aggies in this game.
I do, too. I like them as we used to call it a pizza bet, but I like it as a turkey leg. I think, you know, the problem I have with LSU and trying to lay that kind of wood in this game is, I don't know if they can score 7 points. I mean, obviously they can, but I mean, again, I don't like laying a lot of lumber with the team that has trouble scoring to begin with. So I'm in agreement with you there. And I think that they do come back, and it does have obviously big bowl implications, because, and the bigger the bowl, the bigger the money. And of course, tomorrow we've got you know, a pretty full slate of games. Not all have meaning, but I think if you look at, you know, some of the games, I guess before we get there, though, I want to ask you, what's your take on Charlie Strong getting the hook from Texas?
I think it was a necessary move. Charlie Strong, I mean, his tenure with Texas has been, you know, pretty much a disappointment. I mean, there's really no other way to sugarcoat it. I mean, I think I saw a record was 16-20, 16-21, something like that. It's not really living up to the standards of a, you know, Texas football program. I mean, that team should be in the top 25 every year, I think, you know, pretty easily. And it's kind of sad to see, you know, I'm not sad that, you know, Charlie Strong is going to get quite a hefty paycheck and will definitely get hired somewhere. But he just didn't get it done, and there's no other way to put it. And I think, you know, you saw with his players, he was really beloved in that program, and that's the sad part, that, you know, he's not going to get to continue there. But I mean, that's part of the business. If you don't win, you don't stay. I mean, you need results, and that's, he just didn't provide them. And I still think he's a good coach. You know, sometimes things just don't work out. I mean, you can't, not everybody's Jim Harbaugh, you know, going everywhere and turning every program into, you know, a top program, and, you know, going to NFC championship games and Super Bowls in his first 3 years. It just doesn't happen that way. And you know, this just didn't happen to work out for Charlie Strong. And I can't disagree with the firing, because, you know, after 3 seasons of sub 500 football, I mean, sometimes you got to make a change. And I think this is the time.
And kudos to you for trash talking Notre Dame last week, because, of course, they spit up a 17-point lead and lost again. What do you think of that?
Yeah, well, Notre Dame's got some bigger problems to worry about than one game, because it looks like they're getting 21 games taken away from them between 2012 and 2013. This is another academic violation case. And, you know, kind of after reading through all of it, Bub, you know, as much as I bashed them last week, this seems pretty darn harsh for the NCAA to vacate 2 seasons worth of wins off of a student trainer, I believe, helping a couple kids, you know, basically doing their coursework for them. You know, I think this happens in almost every major program in some shape or form.
Yep.
You know, a lot of these kids come to school to play football and to go to the NFL, and, you know, school is a kind of a secondary thought, and there's nothing wrong with that. If that's the route you want to take, if you're good enough to do that, fine. I think this is a pretty harsh penalty by the NCAA, and that's my opinion. As much as I don't like Notre Dame, I thought they came down awfully harsh on them.
Well, listen, the NCAA, in my opinion, is the same as the Federal Reserve. They're both worthless, and they're both ignorant, and they don't do anything worth a crap, because the NCAA, their rules are so antiquated and so ridiculous that, you know. But you know what I never understood, though, seriously, is, what's the difference? They already won the games. They're over. What are they going to give back the money to the fans who went and watched them win? I mean, what does it mean they took away the game? They don't mean anything going forward, do they?
No, I mean, the only thing, I guess, would be, I guess, for historic purposes, if you're looking at the programs. But, I mean, if I was a player, it wouldn't mean anything to me. I mean, if I'm, you know, in the NFL, I mean, it's 2012, 2013, you know, Notre Dame went undefeated until they lost the national championship game. I mean, wouldn't change anything for me as a player. I mean, if you look back, you know, Brian Kelly's coaching record is going to be affected. Notre Dame is going to move from second all-time in wins down to fifth now. I mean, it doesn't really mean much, except for the fact that the NCAA is more or less sticking their you-know-what out and saying, this is what's going to happen now. You were taking away wins. I guess you could call it more a punitive damage that they don't do it again. I guess that would be the main point, I guess, they're trying to make.
Just don't take away my paycheck. That's all I care about. So, you know, so we do have a number of games today, and I guess the Apple Cup, of course, you know, I don't think Washington has any shot to get back to the chance, but they do play Washington State, and a 6-point favorite at Washington State. What's your thought? Any thoughts there?
I like Washington in this game. I think this has been the most important Apple Cup, I think, since I've been watching college football. And, you know, Washington, they had an outstanding chance to make the college football playoff, but they ran into a buzzsaw of a USC team. I think it was last week or a couple weeks ago, whatever it was. This is going to be a tight game, but I think Washington comes out on top. I think they do cover. I think they're going to win by 7. That's my, you know, I would call that a pretty tight game, one possession. I think this Washington team is still very good, but when you look at their strength of schedule, they basically needed to be undefeated to be considered in the top four team, because there's no way that a one-loss Washington team can even really be compared to a one-loss, you know, Michigan, Clemson, Ohio State. That's my take on it.
I agree. Listen, I never like Leach anyways as a coach, I don't like their whole style. And of course, they got pulverized by Colorado last week. And I wouldn't be surprised to see a repeat. I'm a little bit more they're going to get pounded variety, even though it is an Apple Cup or a rivalry game. But another game that I thought was interesting, you know, Houston at one time was talked about the national championship, and they ran into a couple of buzzsaws, and now they're only, and I say only because we know that those are always trap bets, but they're only 3 points over Memphis on the road. What are your thoughts there?
Honestly, I can't say I've watched Memphis play a lot of football this year. You know, they're 7-4, have not been in the top 25. It does seem like kind of a trap bet. This Houston team, besides the two losses, I mean, they played some fantastic games, and we really saw their full potential when they just absolutely annihilated Louisville, sacked, you know, Lamar Jackson 11 times. I mean, that game was just an absolute blowout. And, you know, I think I might have to fall into the trap here, Bub. I think I might have to take Houston laying the 3 points on the road.
I would agree. Unfortunately, I have to agree with you because I just don't see it. But, of course, I'm not supposed to see it. We're just the commentators, and this has been the Sporting Edge Bubba Show today with Xander and Bubba. And, of course, we both want to wish you a very happy Thanksgiving. And don't eat too much because you got to get ready to watch football. I don't want you falling asleep with all that tryptophan. So make sure that, and we'll be back on Saturday for the weekend's games and what's going on versus the news. So we enjoyed being here, and Xander, it's great to be on the show, and I'm thankful to have you as part of my radio teammate. So thank you so much.
You too. Thank you.
This is the Sporting Edge Bubba Show. Everybody have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll see you back here on Saturday. The Sporting Edge with Xander and Bubba. We'll see you later, everybody.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.